Chapter 16. Are conscious machines possible? Strong AI, building machines that really have conscious minds, self-awareness, and understanding, like us, is still a distant goal. We have no idea how or where to begin, or what we are dealing with, and there are no tests available to study or measure the mind or consciousness in any scientific way. You just cannot see what another person is thinking or experiencing, but we can identify some parts of consciousness. It must have the ability to experience things from a personal point of view. Philosophers call this qualia, the perceptions of the mind that we all experience, like the smell of coffee. The problem is that qualia are personal, so although we think we are sharing the same experiences, there is no way of knowing if we are experiencing them in the same way as another person. One of the most famous tests of consciousness was developed by the American philosopher Thomas Nagel in 1974. Nagel's test considers whether the question, "What is it like to be an X?" is meaningful when applied to different things. If so, Nagel argued that the X had to be conscious. The question is meaningful when applied to humans, monkeys, dogs, and even rats, although there is no concrete evidence that they are conscious. What about simpler creatures like insects? It seems more doubtful that they are conscious, according to Nagel's test, although you could argue that they just have a far more basic consciousness than humans. Things like ovens or rocks clearly fail the consciousness test, as it does not feel like anything to be them. The test brings attention to a number of important points. First, is consciousness an all-or-nothing thing, or does it have different levels? At one end, there is human consciousness, and at the other end, the consciousness of insects. But even between humans, there are differences. Second, is consciousness different for different things? Nagel's paper was called "What Is It Like to Be a Bat?", a title chosen because bats are so different to humans. Bats are conscious, according to Nagel's theory, but perceive things differently. They make very high sounds that humans cannot hear and receive echoes that tell them about their environment. Since we cannot do this, we are unable to imagine what it is like to be a bat. Even though we think Nagel's question is meaningful, bat consciousness is so very different to human consciousness. It is impossible to understand what bat consciousness is, although we may be confident that it is there. Nagel's test can be applied to computers, and most people seem to believe that it is not like anything to be a computer any more than an oven. For this reason, Nagel's "what is it like" argument has been used to argue that strong AI is impossible, as computers cannot be conscious. Perhaps we cannot imagine what it would be like to be a computer just because they are so different to humans, but that does not necessarily mean that machine consciousness is impossible, just that it would be different. There are many other arguments attempting to show strong AI to be impossible, such as the fact that people are special. But however amazing humans are, they are made of a group of atoms, the smallest chemical parts which everything in the universe is made of, so we are nothing special. But this does not answer the difficult question of how a particular group of atoms can lead to the conscious experience of humans. Another argument is that much of human action and decision-making is based on the ability to understand something. This is done without the need for conscious reasoning, and it cannot be reduced to a program in the way that computers require. There is evidence that much of our decision-making is not based on explicit or careful reasoning. This probably comes from experience we have gained over time. And we have seen that computers can learn from experience and become effective decision makers too. One of the most famous arguments against the possibility of strong AI is based on a scenario called the Chinese Room. A man is working alone in a room and receives cards under the door on which questions are written in Chinese, a language he does not understand. He takes these cards and then carefully follows written instructions to write an answer in Chinese, which he then passes back out of the room. In fact, the room is doing a Chinese Turing test, and the answers provided by the room convince the interviewers outside that it is human. There is no meaningful understanding present, as neither the man nor the room understand Chinese. The man's intelligence is used only to carefully follow the instructions he is given, just as a computer would. By the same argument, a computer passing the Turing test would not show understanding. So strong AI cannot be produced just by following a recipe, no matter how much your program appears to have understanding. Another thing to consider is how a conscious mind helped humans to develop. One theory is that the conscious mind is actually nothing more than a meaningless byproduct of the things in our body that actually produce our behaviour. Another view is that the conscious mind does not play a key part in our behaviour, but rather that it somehow comes from other processes in our brain. This mind-body problem is one of the biggest and oldest issues in science and philosophy, and is not yet solved. A key part of our conscious human experience is our ability to understand ourselves and others as part of a social group, and to be able to reason about others and about how others see us. This key capability most probably developed as a requirement for living and working together in large, complex social groups. British psychologist Robin Dunbar calculated that a human brain can manage, on average, 150 human relationships, which might tell us something about the number of people we actively interact with on social networking sites. So, we could conclude that the human brain is special because it is social. Another central part of how humans look at and try to understand the world is by naturally identifying agents which are similar to them. Physical features like weight are used to predict a stone falling to the ground if dropped. However, this is not useful in understanding the behaviour of computers, and definitely not people. Design can be used to predict the behaviour of a system like a clock, using the numbers on its face to tell the time, which is what it is for. But the most useful way to predict and explain human behaviour is to suppose that a person's beliefs and desires will make them act rationally, a theory by philosopher Daniel Dennett known as the intentional stance, which can also be applied to machines. Human use of the intentional stance is linked to the fact that we are social animals, required to understand and predict the behaviour of other agents in society. To return to Dunbar's research, which looked at the relationship between brain size and the capacity for higher-order intentional reasoning capabilities in humans and other animals, he found that brain size is strongly linked to social group size. So it follows that a natural explanation for the development of large brains is the need for and value of social reasoning, higher-order intentional reasoning, within a complex society. This in turn could be linked to consciousness. But why might social reasoning require consciousness? And are there machines that are capable of social reasoning? If a robot believes it is raining and it wants to stay dry, it should take appropriate action to prevent getting wet. If the robot did not take such action, then we would probably say either that it did not believe it was raining, or it did not really want to stay dry, or that it was not rational. The intentional stance is of greatest help when we do not understand the agent, as it explains and predicts behaviour independently of whether it is a person or a dog or a robot. If you are a rational agent with the desire to stay dry and the belief that it is raining, then I can explain and predict your behaviour without knowing anything else about you. What does this tell us with respect to our dreams for AI? What could progress towards conscious machines look like, and how might we create it? Suppose we had a machine learning program that learns on its own, just as the DeepMind agent did in Breakout, to succeed in a scenario which requires meaningful, complex, higher-order intentional reasoning. Or a scenario which requires an agent to tell a complex lie using higher-order intentional reasoning. Or a scenario in which an agent learns to meaningfully share its state of mind and those of others. A system that could learn to do these things in a meaningful way would be some important way along the road to conscious machines. An example of this is the Sally Ann test. The test consists of a short story that is told or acted out to a child who must answer questions based on the beliefs of other people. Theory of mind, TOM, is the practical ability that fully developed adults have which allows them to reason about the beliefs and desires of others and themselves. Researchers recently developed a neural net system called TOMNet, Theory of Mind Net, which is able to learn how to model other agents and behave correctly in Sally Ann scenarios. The work is at a very early stage, and the ability to solve a Sally Ann puzzle is not enough to say that a system has artificial consciousness, but it is a step in the right direction. Suppose we succeeded in building machines with a human-level theory of mind, machines that autonomously learn to handle complex, higher-order intentional reasoning, that can build and manage complex social relationships, that can express complex properties of their own mental state and those of others. Would those machines really have a mind, consciousness, self-awareness? We just cannot answer this question at present. We should have a much better idea if we ever get closer to being able to build such machines. At this point, I can feel the ghost of Alan Turing trying to get my attention. He argued that if a machine is doing something that is the same as the real thing, then we should stop arguing about whether it is actually conscious or has self-perception. If we really cannot tell the difference using any reasonable test that we can create, then that may be as much as we can ever ask. Penguin Readers, Artificial Intelligence, based on The Road to Conscious Machines, Michael Wooldridge, Level 7. Retold by Catherine Morris. Illustrated by Michael Wooldridge. Series editor Sorrel Pitts. Read by Nigel Pilkington. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2022.